It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're studying in the book of John, and we're in chapter 16. Verse 1 of that chapter says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Well, Jesus is talking to his disciples, to his apostles here, and to me, this is saying that that ye should not be offended. In other words, don't let it take you by surprise. I've told you these things so that you would not be taken by surprise when certain things happen to you. And also, don't be surprised, but don't let it hurt you to the point that you stop serving me. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to tell the people he's speaking to here. He's telling us that today, that some of us will be tried more than others, but I believe that each of us will face some sort of persecution. It doesn't mean that we're going to be killed necessarily. Some people have been killed, and maybe some people will be killed in the future. And in fact, I believe that there are people giving their lives right now throughout the world for the cause of Christ. And we don't hear a lot about this, but as far as I can see and hear, there are people who are dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord says, don't let these things take you by surprise when they happen to you. Don't be, you should not be offended. Don't be taken by surprise, and don't let it hurt you to the point that you stop. Verse 2 says, and he tells them some of these things that's going to take place. They shall put you out of the synagogues. This is one of the things that the Jewish people dreaded, I believe, one of the things that they dreaded most of all, and that was to be discarded as such by the Jewish hierarchy. In other words, the scribes and Pharisees. But the saved people here that he's speaking to, they were saved, and they knew that these scribes and Pharisees were only religious leaders, that they did not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that they would put them out of the synagogues. But he's telling them, don't worry about being put out of the synagogue, because it's going to happen, and you need to be aware of this. They shall put you out of the synagogues. It says, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth good service. Now, of course, we see a prime example of this when we look at the life of Paul the Apostle. Before Paul the Apostle became Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus, and that's what he was known as. And he went about thinking that he was doing good for God by getting Christians and killing them, by beating them, by delivering them to certain jails and what have you. He wanted to stop this because he thought that he was doing God a favor, that he was working for God by killing Christians, people who had trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Lord's telling the disciples here, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And that's a prime example. Paul the Apostle is a prime example of that. But thank God, Paul the Apostle met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he got saved. Later on, we see how that he was persecuted and that he was, there came a time in his life when he gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And tradition has it that his head was cut off in Rome because he refused to turn against his Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 3 of John 16 says, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." Go back in the book of John and you see how that Jesus constantly told the scribes, Pharisees, the people standing by, the apostles, the disciples, everyone. He told them that he came down from God, that he was from heaven, and that he was God. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you go back up in verse 1 of that chapter, chapter 1, it says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Verse 14 of the same chapter tells us that that Word became flesh. Jesus Christ is the Word. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Now remember, he was born of a virgin. He was born into this world as a human being. But his father was not human. His Father was the Holy Spirit who gave life, who gave us the Son of God. Well, we know that the Bible teaches us, and it's true, that God the Father loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Holy Spirit came, overshadowed Mary. There was nothing sexual here. People try to turn everything into something dirty, but there was nothing sexual going on here. The Holy Spirit planted the seed in Mary. It's supernatural. And Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, don't ask me how that He can be the Son of God and God at the same time. I don't know how all that works, but one day we'll know everything. But the important thing is, listen to what God says in His Word. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God of very God. And He kept trying to tell these people all through the book of John who He was. And notice in verse 3 of 16 of John, it says, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor Me." Before you know the Heavenly Father, you must know the Heavenly Son. You must come to that saving knowledge. And thank God for those people who are listening right now, and those people throughout the world who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And because they've done that, they know that they have a Heavenly Father. Before that person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, God the Father is not their Father in heaven. In fact, the Bible teaches us that they are the enemy of God. There's nothing that a person without Jesus Christ can do that pleases God. There's nothing that any of us as human beings in the flesh can please God until we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, verse 3 once again says, "And these things will they do unto you." All the things that He's warning the people about, all these things He's warning them, it's going to happen, He says, but don't be surprised. "These things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor Me. But these things," verse 4 says, "have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." He says, I'm going to remind you of these things as you go through this world. He says, it'll come back to your memory that I have told you these things, that when it happens to you, so that you're going to remember them. "And these things that I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." He said, I'm telling you these things now because I have been with you and I'm with you right now. And I believe He's letting these people know that He's not going to be around much longer. Remember, as we get down to these sections of Scripture in the book of John, we know that Jesus Christ would be offered on the cross of Calvary soon. And He's trying to prepare these people to let them know that there's coming a time when He would not be with them. But remember the things that He's taught them, to remember the things that He's shown them, and that He's wanting to help them realize that they should never quit, that they should keep on keeping on, because they have a Heavenly Father. Verse 5, "But now I go my way," He says, "to Him that sent Me." He says, now look, He says, I'm getting ready to go back to the Heavenly Father. And go back in the book of John and you'll see again that He came down from the Father. He came down from heaven, and now He says, I'm on My way back. I'm getting ready to go back to the One who sent Me. John 3:16, God sent Him. And the verse goes on to say, "And none of you asketh Me, whither goest thou?" Now these people, evidently, they had been around Jesus long enough to know that He was going back to heaven, that He was going back to the Heavenly Father, so that they had no need of asking Him. Now, I'm sure there were those standing by who needed to ask Him, but for the most part, these people who had been with Him for so long, He had been preparing them for the crucifixion, for the time when He would die and He would go back to heaven. Now, let me stop here in just a moment, and let me say that although some of these people may have known that Jesus was going to give His life, getting ready to lay down His life, it came as a shock. You say, well, how could that be if they knew He was going to go to the cross? Well, think of your own life, how that you may have known someone or maybe a family member who was terminally ill And this may have been for a long period of time or a short period of time. In other words, you knew that they were going to pass away, that they were going to give up the breath of life. Well, you knew this, but when it happened, it came as a shock. It's never joyous to us as a human being when one of us, when a loved one or a friend, leaves this world. But let me say that when a loved one leaves this world who knows Jesus Christ, that should be a time of joy for us. But yet, may I say that we human beings, we're selfish. And although we have been saved and that person who's going on is saved and with the Lord at that time, we're selfish because we've been left behind. Many times we want to go with them. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to go, but we should never do anything to speed that up. But we look at that individual who is going on before us. We're selfish, and we miss that individual. Now, there's nothing wrong with missing a loved one or a friend, but we should never let that stop us from serving God. We should never let that get us to a point of throwing in the towel and quitting on the Lord. Remember, we just got through reading in these verses that we should never stop. Don't be offended to the point of quitting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you do quit, that doesn't mean you've lost your salvation. That just means you've lost your get up and go. That means you've just lost the point in your life where you need to get back to in serving God. Verse 6 says, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Now, they knew he was going to go. And those who didn't know exactly what was going to take place, how he was going to go or whatever, he knew that there was coming a time when they would be filled with sorrow. And as we read on in the book of John and the other Gospels, we find out that there were many people who saw what took place and they fled. They were sorrowful because their Lord was giving his life. But notice verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, this is only one aspect and one reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and gave his life. One aspect was that when he went, the Holy Spirit would come. If he would not go, then the Holy Spirit could not come and comfort the individuals there. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us once we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, another aspect, of course, is the fact that if Jesus Christ had never gone to the cross, then you and I would never go to heaven. But because he went to the cross, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, gave his life, that made a way for us to get to heaven. No man is saved on his own. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy that he saves us. And my question to you today is, are you serving God? Have you thrown in the towel? Have you given up? Well, then you need to get back in. You need to start serving him. You need to pass out tracts. You need to tell people about Jesus Christ. You need to go to church. You need to listen to the Word of God and follow what God has for you personally as a saved person. If you do not know him, you need to know him. You need to trust him today as your Lord and Savior. For one day, he's coming, and we're going to go with him. That is, those people who have trusted him as Lord and Savior. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.